Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we just so thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your living word. We thank you for the variety in the Psalms, Lord. And 1 week is such a praise and adoration, and then another week can be a despondency and fear and one thing and another. But you know us so well, and you know what we need. And so help us to receive what you have for us this morning with grateful hearts and understand what you're telling us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Question, what does the word Zion mean to you? How often is Zion used in the scriptures?
150.
You got it. 153 times. How often is Jerusalem used in the scriptures? Four times more, 760 plus. But we have the glories of the city of God today in a little seven-verse psalm, and no one knows quite where this part of the tail end of 86, which was that great, great victorious psalm that we had last week, praying for the mercies and the excellencies of the Lord. And I think that's what it is, in my opinion. Well, it stands alone. But it's not part of the next psalm. The next psalm, 88, come next week with your raincoat on or whatever, because it's the lowest despondency psalm of them all, 88. So in preparation for the lowest, today we have a high point. So if you're despondent after today's psalm, you need to go to the Lord. Psalm 87, the glories of the city of God, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Think of that. Glorious things are spoken of you, O what? City of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born here, or this was born here, the one has been inserted. And of Zion it will be said, this and that were born in her. And the Most High himself shall establish her. Think of that. When he registers the people, this was born here. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. So as we start this morning, I couldn't find a tune that I thought did worthiness. I didn't like any of the choirs, so I thought we'll go to the family room choir this morning. Isn't this a family room? I think it is, whatever this room is called. And this is the choir we're going to use today. And it's the first verse of Psalm 48, which talks about Mount Zion. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So let's sing that together. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? And once again, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now that is the best recording you'll find anywhere, so don't even waste time looking for another. So we begin here with his foundation is the holy mountains. Think of that. Who is the His? It's Yahweh. It's the Creator God. What is the foundation? That's what you start with. That's what you build on. And we have Zion all the way back in the very beginning. It's the foundation. Now, we're going to be looking at Jerusalem today. And we're going to close with singing the Holy City, which I kind of chose that because Jerusalem divided up into three segments in that song. The first segment is the historical section, such as the foundations, all of the heritage and everything that goes with Jerusalem. Then the middle section is the key. That's Golgotha. That's the cross. Where was the cross? In Jerusalem. Then the third stanza is the coming millennial reign. Where is that going to be? Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is it. I believe Jerusalem is the center of the universe. I believe Jerusalem was established even before the sun and the moon and all the stars, because they don't occur to the fourth day. You know, isn't it amazing? Just think of light for just a minute. What is light? Well, I don't really know. I can't answer that. But God created light before He created any of the other media that He brought into it as sources of light. He said, let there be light, long before there was a moon or sun or stars or anything else. And when we get in heaven, we'll see there's no need anymore for a sun, moon, and stars, because He's the light. So He creates these things. I can't describe it, but the best I can do is He creates these things and then puts them into categories where we can experience them and understand them, but not the other way around. He didn't create the sun to give us light. He uses the sun to give us light, but He created light before the sun was even created. He created life before the trees were created. And these things don't work in our mind because it can't happen. I mean, that's like creating man. Well, you first have to have a man and woman coming together, right? You can't have a baby without that. Well, that's true, except that when He does it, He creates man out of nothing, right? Everything else. So we go over the top here. But His foundation is in the holy mountains. Listen to this. Yahweh loves the gates of Zion. So when you see Zion on this context there, you can say Jerusalem. He loves the gates of Jerusalem, what? More than all. How much is that? More than all. The dwellings of Jacob. That's a special place, isn't it? It's a special place to the Lord. Glorious things are spoken of you. Glorious things are spoken of you. Again, speaking of Zion here. Glorious things are spoken of you by the Lord in the Word and by His followers as well to a degree. And then what are we talking about? Oh, city of God. We're talking about the city of God. So this is a special, special, special place. Yeah, I've been there. It doesn't look so special to me. Old city, dirty and, you know, filled with people who don't love the Lord and, you know, but it's still a special place. And it was a special place. Where did He bring His Son to die for us? No other place. No other place. No other place. And even when He brought Him to the world, Bethlehem's only 5 miles away. I mean, it's like, it's closer than the end of Santa Ana away from Jerusalem. So it's right there. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Now, verse 4, you will get about at least three main interpretations of this as you look through the commentators, commentaries, and I can't explain it, so we'll just see what does the word say. I will make mention of Rahab, that's Egypt. I will make mention of Egypt and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this was born here, or this was born there, I should say. So what is that talking about? Well, one of the interpretations is that it's talking about Israel's perennial enemies, of Egypt, Babylon. Of course, Babylon conquered them, right? About Babylon and Philistia. Philistia was always their enemy. And Tyre. Tyre was ruler of the world for five centuries economically. But one interpretation of this, all of these nations at this point were now going into the millennial reign. We're now going, not today, but eventually they will all be the Lord. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that everybody, even if they were born in their own country, will still have that kind of identification, even if they were born in Jerusalem, whatever that means. I believe it's talking about the church. We have in the scripture that at the time when the heavenly city comes down and after the great white throne judgment at all, we will have the general assembly meeting in Jerusalem. The general assembly, I believe, consists of the Old Testament saints as well as the church. Everybody gathered together. And so I look at this and I see believers from all countries there eventually. And there still will be identification. You'll still be identified as an Egyptian in a way, but it doesn't really mean that much because we aren't on a piece of dirt anymore then. We're in the heavenly city by the time we get to the end times, the real end times, it seems to me. Verse 5, and of Zion, here's Zion again, it will be said, this and that were born in her. Now, the translators try to add either man or one in there, but try to make sense out of it, but that isn't in the original. It's just, as you will see in your Bible, or at least in my Bible, it's in italics. This and that were born in her. And again, they identify that as either in their home country, and they are now believers, or it's that person actually ended up coming to Jerusalem. I don't know. But out of Zion, it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High himself. Now, that is the top, Most High himself. That's Yahweh, shall establish her. That's the city, I believe, shall establish Zion. And so whatever all this stuff means, it means that the Lord loves it and the Lord has established it or will establish it, right? And he's established it right here in us because we're all part of the church, right? And any promises given to Abraham and those who believe in him, such as believe in Christ, because of the faith accounted to Abraham, shares in all of those promises. So you can put yourself wherever you see Zion, you can put yourself in there as one mentioned, you can identify that as us, as the church, as Zion. But it also identifies itself as Jerusalem here. It's also a place. We'll also have heaven and earth passing away eventually before at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign, and then we'll have what? The new city coming down. It doesn't say it comes to earth, but it comes down out of heaven toward earth, and that's a whole other over-the-top. We can't even talk about that. I can't talk about that with any intelligence because it's beyond. But that also is Zion. That also is the church, where the church, that also is where all the believers will be. At that time, it seems to me, or at least going in and out of it, I don't know. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself shall establish her. And now, this one again, we don't understand this quite. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this one was born there. Now, what does that mean? Well, it depends on who you read. And I don't know, I can't define it. All I know is that our names are written in heaven, in the Book of Life. But the Book of Life has a number of references to it. I don't think the Book of Life necessarily is just written in Jerusalem. I think it's written in heaven. But there may be a register taken of births in Jerusalem as a separate register. I don't know. Some people see that in there. The Lord will record when he registers the peoples, this was born there. So I'll leave that with you. You're supposed to pause there with the Selah and say, what about this? And so I'm still saying, what about this? You know? Yeah. But not in that way, not standing in awe saying, what about this? All I know, it's wonderful because this is what the scripture says. The Lord will record when he, that's the Lord, that's Yahweh, registers the peoples. Well, all I know is you can be sure that you're registered if you believe in Jesus Christ. You don't have to doubt that. You don't have to question that. You're registered. And you can't even get your name off of that book, I don't believe. Just make sure your name is in the book when you take your last breath for you and your family and your friends and everybody else, because if your name isn't in that book when you take your last breath, it's never going to be in that book. So that's what it says to me. He registers the peoples. This one was born there. And now he closes with both the singers and the players. Listen to this. Singers and the players on instruments. That's all worship. Shall say, all my springs are in you. What does that mean? Well, our word, the spring is basically the unending fountain of Him, the unending fountain of God. That is it. All my refreshment, my resources is in you. Everything comes from Him, right? Even my praises, even my playing on instruments or whatever, it all comes from Him. And sometimes I get saddened when I see the gifting of some of the people in terms of singing and in terms of they're just so gifted, and yet they're using that gift totally for the wrong way. They're using the gift to glorify them, to make money for themselves, and not to glorify God. But in that day, it will be all glorifying Him. We all will have resources forever. We don't need to worry about losing our job. We don't have to worry about getting that new contract. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, all my springs are in you. And when you ask yourself that question, is that really true? Are all of my sources of everything, of life itself, and all the praises and anything I could possibly do, are they in Him? Wasn't always that way, was it? Still isn't totally. It's still, there's a lot of self in me, a lot of self in most of us, I guess. But He's promised to take that all away. He's promised to complete His good work in us, right? And when He's completed it, that's the biggest thing that God has ever done, in my opinion, greater than the creation of all the universe, is to bring the church as one with everyone in the church Christ-like. Think of that. Think of that in just yourself. What a job. What a task. What an impossible task. And then multiply that by, I don't know, billions and billions of times, right? So this is all being brought by Him. And can we really say, yes, Lord, all of my springs are in you. Father, we thank you for this little 7-verse psalm, and it does prompt questions, which are good, but it also, underlying it all, shows how important the church is to you. And it's not a location on the globe, and yet it is a location on the globe in terms of you choosing Jerusalem for the Messiah, really, in effect, Bethlehem, to come into the world. You've chosen Jerusalem as the place where you sacrificed your Son for us on Golgotha, Calvary. No other place. Unbelievable. And it will be the place where in the millennial reign, Jesus will sit on the throne in Jerusalem and rule and reign. And we'll be with Him. And then we see eternally the new Jerusalem coming down in Revelation 21. Forever. And so Jerusalem is very important if we could understand really what it stands for. And Lord, we know that even in these end times, we keep our eyes on Israel, on Jerusalem. That is the key to everything. And just help us to be ready, Lord, and help us to remember those around us who cannot say, all my springs are in you. They cannot say, my everything is in you. They're still into the world, and you have said, be separate, come out from among them. And so help us in witnessing and in praying for that. And now, Lord, as we go into prayer this morning, as you would lead us and guide us by your Spirit, just teach us to pray. As we get near the close of today, would you just take your notes just a moment? I just wanted to call your attention to a few scriptures about Zion, because we don't always have Zion in every study, but I felt today is the study of Zion, really. And in Hebrews 12:22, we read, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly city, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." And the next verse says, "In the general assembly and church of the firstborn." That's quite a statement there, really. I believe the general assembly is everybody, Old Testament saints, and then the church of the firstborn. That's a difficult translation there. You can look at that as Jesus Christ, the firstborn, but I don't think that's the context there. I think the context there, in heaven, we're all the firstborn. There's no grandchildren in heaven. You've got to receive Christ to be there. You can't come in on the shirt tails or coattails of your parents or anybody else. So we're all the firstborn, and there's no thee in the original there. There's no definite article there. So it's church firstborn. You are church firstborn. But again, Zion is what we're talking about here. Who are registered in heaven, that we're talking about that today in this little psalm, registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now that's quite a place, isn't it?
Yes.
If you can get your hands around that verse, you've got a lot. Psalm 48, we said that in the beginning. "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation or situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king." And of course, when that was written, Jebus was down the hill and up on top of the mountain, really, is where we're talking about. Golgotha is up there. That really wasn't part of the city of David. That's a little bit higher, but nevertheless, it's all in that same general area there on the north side, the city of the great king. Psalm 132:13, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place." How would you like to be a part of his dwelling place? That's where we're going. That's what the Bible says, aren't we? That's where we're headed, is for his dwelling place. We're going to tabernacle with him, we read. Isaiah 2:3, a beautiful scripture. "Many people shall come and say," this is the millennial reign now, by the way, and into the kingdom. "Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." That'll be something going on forever, by the way. We haven't even scratched the surface yet. Yeah, but I've been around here 80 years. That's nothing compared to eternity. Time hasn't even started yet, right? Zechariah 2:10, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst." Again, millennial reign. And then to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem. Synonyms of heaven are for heaven itself, for a description of where God dwells, the city of Jerusalem in heaven. Isn't that great? Well, let's just close by singing this song. It's a little bit professional, but it's got three of the greatest tenors in the world in it. And it's led by Andre Rule, who is one of the top violinists in the world and a very gifted musician. And so the words, I'm sorry I split the words here, part of them are on back to page 2, part of them page 3, but maybe you can follow along. And remember, again, as I mentioned, we first start out with Old Jerusalem, then we go to Calvary, and then we finally go to the millennial reign. So see if you can pick that up here. So we can actually, you probably won't know the words well enough to sing along, you can if you want, but when we get to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, we know that one, don't we?
Last night I lay a-sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and there as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven as well rang. Roman in Oxera.
As the shadow of a cross rose heaven and over me,
as the shadow of a cross rose upon a
Father, we thank you for giving us our forwarding address.
Oh, yes.
Lord, help us to show your face, to show your love to others, Lord, that they too may receive what you've given us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.